summer days, just after summer rain, when all the air was damp and warm in the green of country lanes, and the breeze would touch your hair, kiss your face and make you care about your world, your summer world. And we would count the evening stars as the day grew dark in Beechwood Park. Do you remember golden days and golden summer sun? The sound of laughter in our ears and the breeze as we would run. And the breeze would touch your hair, kiss your face and make you care about your world, your summer world. And we would count the evening stars as the day grew dark in Beechwood Park. And the breeze would touch your hair, kiss your face and make you care about the world, your summer world. And we would count the evening stars as the day grew dark in Beechwood Park. Beechwood Park.
Oh yeah, the Zombies. Man, I'm running out of time here. I gotta move fast. Yeah, Beechwood Park from the great Odyssey and Oracle album, the Zombies. And Julie from Archives Box, Paul Panhausen from Singing the World into Existence, Gordon Monahan from This Piano Thing, Piano Drilling, the Flower Corsano Duo with the main ingredient from the Four Aims. That's it for me. I got to get out of here. You're tuned to Freeform Radio, WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in New York City and Rockland County, at 91.9 FM and online at WFMU.org. Stay tuned for Miracle Nutrition coming up shortly, in a matter of seconds. I'm Fabio. Have a nice weekend. Happy holidays. I'll see you next week. Bye.
Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you, for a full hour of enjoying ourselves together on the radio, just you and I, in an intimate fashion.
Hey, Uncle Hardy, could you please put on a story record?
Oh, I can't do that right now, nephew, because the Carolier Singers are on strike from Peter Pan Records, and I'm in solidarity with them. so I can recreate it with my mouth.
Oh, no thank you. All right,
I'll do it. It's very creative way. We shouldn't depend on pre-recorded stuff all the time, because what if something happens in the story record industry or our thing gets... Listen, I'm not going to lie to you. I mucked up the needle because I was doing scratching on the... I know it's not the kind you're supposed to do that on, but I was having so much fun with this old Black Beauty story record. And it was Black Beauty, blah, 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 and it was so fun. Blah, 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 on the bees especially. So now I'm just going to tell you it from memory.
Oh.
But I'm not. I'm going to tell you a different, more creative version. So kids at home, if you're getting ready to go to bed or you're saying, oh, mom and dad, I don't really don't feel like interacting with our children when they're sleepy or awake, and we'd like someone else to speak to them and bore them into a stupor. And at the end of the day, and they can't demand anything from you, a disembodied voice.
Please, I want this.
I can't satisfy your need for a drink of water. So I can't. You have to go to the potty. There's nothing I can do for you. That's between you and your bladder. And I'm not going to explain that to you, because that's for your parents to tell you about all your organs. So I'm just going to tell you this wonderful story as I remember it. And a lot of the records that I listened to as a child, and they were on...
Records?
Yes, you know, like hipsters go to the stores and they get things saying, I want some kind of adult stand-up record from the 70s with a promiscuous title. Here it is. Look at that. That's so dirty. That kind of record. Not the predecessor, which were the wax cylinder. Oh, and they weren't. A lot of them weren't wax. They were made out of radioactive human remains, all squished up on there. Horrible. That's why you can't have it anymore. And the middle of it was ivory. And baby elephant ivory from inside the elephant. Oh, its whole future. You had to... Oh, it's terrible. I'm not going to tell you how it... It's like making a veal, but from an animal's soul. And that's even worse. And that's on a spiritual level that's wrong. So here it is. It goes something like this. I got my pitch pipe. Not that you don't smoke out of it. It's how you find A flat. I'll sit right back and I'll tell you a tale of men at sea. They sail upon the sea, not upon, but underneath the sea. Their ship was a mighty submarine, sailed it under the sea. And all the story I'm going to tell you takes place under the sea. And that's where they sailed from here to there, underneath the sea. But the great secret they never shared, but was only 3 feet under the sea. Just 3 feet under the sea. But I thought you said 20,000 leagues under the sea. That's not the depth. That's how far they went. If it were the depth, it'd be like 60,000 miles or something. So that's just how far. But it was real shallow, because it wasn't really a submarine. It was a ship that took on water and a captain in denial who kept saying, everything is just like fine. And his name was Captain Lebo, not like Rabbi Lebo, who you might remember. That's a name in there. I don't remember what congregation Rabbi Lebo was with. But I remember there was a fella, I meet so many people in my profession, that he was one of them, I remember. And, he might not have even been with the congregation. He might have been one of those itinerant rabbis that goes around, just like itinerant waiters. Say, I'm only in town for the horse races, the Kentucky Derby or something. Then I'm moving on to the Santa Maria Nana yacht races after that. And I do that all over the country as they need me. And so the waiter and Rabbi Lebo would travel around together. And then the waiter decided to settle down. And Rabbi Lebo thought, you know what I could do as an itinerant person of the cloth is I could go on a cruise ship. And so he booked himself on a cruise ship. And it's a legitimate thing to do. I'm going to be the chaplain on one of these cruises, except it turned out to be a submarine. How about that? And then they had all the adventures all over. So Rabbi Lebo changed his name to Captain Nemo, and they sailed the sea just beneath the surface. But they never went completely down, because they saw Das Boot and other films about submarines getting trapped. It was a pontoon submarine, if I remember correctly. And they thought, this is not, it's kind of nice. And to keep it from being too claustrophobic, they had screen doors on the hatches. And they had proper hatches, too, if there was a storm. But they, if on a nice day, they could open it up, and you say, well, aren't there bugs? Well, no, not if there's a screen door on the hatch. And the windows you could see, they had view windows. I don't know if you've ever been on a glass-bottom boat. Sounds like a terrible idea. Say, I'm going on the glass-bottom boat. I go, dude, go on one with the wood is bad enough, but try to get one of the steel-hulled ones. So you go, no, it's glass-bottom on purpose. It's not a novelty thing, and it's flat, so that you can see what's under the boat. And I don't know that I want to see what's under the boat. That's terrifying to me. And I don't know whether it's Coleridge who put that kind of like fear into me that there were 1,000 squiggly things and so was I or something beneath the Rime of the Ancient Mariner's boat, which was not a glass bottom boat. I said, what is that? Wow, it's the skeleton of the albatross. Come up, funk them. That's a shock cut right there, scare cut. Oh, bless those old cruises like that, those jungle cruises and everything, and you could see under the water. I don't know whether they had people under there pretending to be a manatee and or whatever. In my memory, there was. Now, let me tell you something, just as an aside, and this does have something to do with Captain Nemo and the submarine story I'm about to tell you, which is a great adventure. And it isn't like Treasure Island where they kidnap a child who also runs a tavern. I love that about that story. That as a kid, I thought, you know, maybe I was 8 or 9. I go, I could be running a bar. I know I could. And it's probably best that I do it because I'm not tempted to drink. And, but it isn't like that. It's a different story. But let me give you an aside about when I was a child, and it may very well be there, Wikiwashi, and it was this Wikiwashi or Wikiwachi, whatever you want to say, Florida. And there was mermaids there, and that you'd watch, you'd go in the show, and the mermaids would swim around. They'd go, they're taking off on Wizard of Oz or one of those. They're doing a play. And then it's going, oh, take your word for it. And they'd suck on hoses and wave. And that was a thing. It might still be a thing, but it was definitely a thing in the 60s. And then people would go, this is a Florida's a marvelous place full of wonders. And they'd move on to the next attraction. And I don't know whether none of it was in submarines. Nobody wanted to touch that. So I'm not doing that until Disney came along. So you know what? We have a movie about submarines, so we're going to go for it and put people in this. You know, because again, we don't specify how deep the story is taking place. And it isn't. And nothing. No children's movie is going to be very deep at all, is it? Let's all have a little laugh there. Oh my goodness. Words have more than one meaning. I hope mine do for you. Say, you're not taking all the story literal, because the story I'm about to tell you has deep spiritual significance. Also, political allegory. I'm calling for some very radical action disguised as Captain Nemo fighting a squid. And it might not even be a squid. I don't know what it's going to be yet. But it'll go off in the flying saucer. Not the flying saucer, the flying sub. There's a flying sub and that detaches from it. And this is going to be such a good story. Now, some of the story is me preparing to tell you about the story. But this is a technique that they used to use on TV. because there would be a host on maybe a movie thing and say, tonight we're going to show you movies and we're going to talk about a little bit about the movie, and then I'm going to show the movie, and then I'm going to mention a pizza place and a realtor, and then we'll show a little bit more of the movie, but not all of it. Good night. And that's what I want to be. And turned out that was an unnecessary middleman, really. They still do it for horror movies because it's fun, and it's often as fun as the movie itself. And Ernie Anderson did this, and they've got people now doing it and everything. And I could be Spooky Hardy or something. I'd have a more creative name than that. Hardy. But it was H-O-R-R. I don't know how many R's, but like a Hardy. Hardy. It's like some of those Japanese words that have to go, that's quite a few vowel sounds right in a row. Will I be able to do that? I'll be tempted to run them together. Everything is a diphthong, really, where I come from. So how can that be run together? I don't have, I stretch things out, but not vowels. I'm going to tell you something right now. Right now, that submarine is lurking in a harbor. What harbor? Well, it thinks it's a harbor in the South Pacific. Now, it has gone over there. Why? Well, on vacation. Because the submarine crew is like, we would love to go to somewhere tropical. And the captain's like, oh, I got to dissuade you. You know, let's be a little bit self-aware and sensitive about our tourism. And he would say it like that, tourism, where we travel for fun as sightseers, because I feel like we're going and imposing ourselves on other cultures, and sometimes they're sensitive to that. They don't like change, or that environmentally it's not great. For instance, we pull up our submarine somewhere in a pristine harbor. Now, think about our poo cannon.
What about it, Captain?
Well, it's a very efficient way to get rid of our human waste, but think about it. Where does it go?
It just goes out into the blue.
Well, that's not the blue. Sometimes it's a harbor, and it's very clear water. We could be shooting it into their sacred wading places where they take their children and everything or whatever. They do baptisms.
No.
Wouldn't that be awful?
Yeah, that's why we stopped doing submersion baptism.
Oh.
Yeah, now we just sprinkle water that we know doesn't have poo in it on our children in a sterile environment.
That's good for you. I don't want to learn anything more about your religion. But I will fight to the death to not hear more about it. So just, I'm right there with you. Listen, when this submarine needs to be, I guess, sub-aware of its sub. And that's little puns that we play. Silence is foo. Words have multiple meanings. And submarines do as well. It is a sandwich. And there's a lot of other things besides the type of contractor. So we're going to start talking about it as a submersible.
Is it, though?
I know technically it is a ship. It's a cruise ship. And it took on a lot of water. And we do have the largest indoor pool now of any cruise ship. And we're also a quasi-submarine, because there are little air pockets under there where we still have personnel.
We hope. We hope they're still there. I guess they are if there's air.
So this is functionally a sub. And so that's what we are, because you adjust. So if God sinks your ship partially, or you take on so much water that you're maybe just a different kind of ship, you know? The Titanic is still a ship, even though it's in pieces many miles down, 20,000 leagues or so. And it's still a ship, and you're still a ship, aren't you? As you go out into the harbor, no matter what little, who knows who's piloting now? Because the captains come and go, And they always take on the name Nemo or Namo or Lemo. Always something like that. Just like the fourth or fifth Marx brother was Nemo, I think. Captain Nemo.
I'm the fifth Marx brother.
And we were sailing the sea in the submarine. Now, I don't know in the stories, and that is, I guess it's Yules, and I guess you say Vern, or Vern, or Ferna. I don't know what, I guess it's Jules Verne, right? Like he's French. Is he still French? I don't know. Nowadays, you don't know. Things change. Where he's from is still part of France. And we call him Jules Verne because it's just hard to remember what that J is. Because sometimes I want to call him Hues or something. So it's tough to know what the J is for. And now I'm going to start the story. A storm started on the horizon. It had not yet reached the Nautilus, but Captain Nemo stood on its deck looking towards the horizon and noting how dark it had become. "Is there a storm approaching, Captain?" said First Mate Matey Mate. "No, yes," said Captain Nemo. Why did I say no? "Yes, there is a storm coming, First Mate. And I think we should try to submerge completely the Nautilus." "But, Captain," said First Mate Matey Mate, "we have not ever submerged completely the Nautilus. So this would be the first time." And the captain said, "I don't think we have much of a choice. Either we will be sunk by the storm, either the storm will sink us and put us under the waves, or we will put ourselves underneath the waves and the storm and harm's way and our demise." "But Captain, there are so many factors." "Factors be gone," said the captain. "There's always factors. I forget what they are even, but I know they're there. But let me tell you this. I know we're a submarine. I feel it in my heart. I've always thought I was a submarine commander, even though there's no evidence. And I don't have any particular skills that would align with being a successful submarine commander, nor any aptitude, or has anyone ever suggested I should do that. But I knew in my heart that this was a word I had heard, and that it was a thing that people do. And I thought, secretly, why not me? Why couldn't I be that, or an astronaut, or a grain of rice, or really anything I put my mind to? And so I've decided to do this, and that's captain a submarine. But I could go around the world pretending to be clergy, which is also something I thought about doing. And I'm told that don't do that. Lenny Bruce did that. He didn't go around the world. He could have toured, but you can get in trouble for pretending to be a priest, depending what you do after you dress up as a priest. If it's Halloween, you can get away with a lot of stuff. Just because if it's Halloween, it stays in Halloween. And you could say, "I'm going to a party." "Why are you dressed as a priest if you're not a priest?" "I'm going to a party." "What kind of party?" "Costume. Fancy dress. And I'm an Anglican priest. So, excuse me." Or something like that you can say. Or, "I just like the way the collar feels." Or, "I have a Nehru collar, but there's a button missing, and so I'm self-conscious, and I put a little piece of white something there." There's a lot of excuses you can come up with. Basically, dress how you want, I think. "But what if I want to dress as a federal officer or something?" Well, I think if it's from a bygone era, like you can probably make a dollar bill if it's one of the old kind, and that I don't think that's... that could still be counterfeiting. Don't do that. But you know what I lost a lot of money doing is making my counterfeit pennies. They were so real looking, and they cost so much, like $10 a piece. But they were real, and they spent like real pennies. And that's the way I feel like what I'm doing right now is I feel like I'm making counterfeit pennies for y'all. And bless you. Say, why would I want that? And then kind of almost making you pay for them. And I said, why would I let you trick me into that? And isn't it really the fun of being tricked? You go to fairs, right, all the time. People go to carnivals. Now, surely you, at some point in your life, you have been warned that there are hucksters and tricksters and hucksters and all kinds of gutteralsters at fairs with rigged games, and you try to shoot at something to get a teddy bear, and it's just missed shot, disappointment. Oh, and you're driven by that desire for that teddy bear, and they prey on psychology, the expectations of human beings, their overconfidence in moments of joy. They get a little too full of themselves and hot dogs and cotton candy, and they say, I'm going to win that big stuffed teddy bear if anybody can. And then trickery is fetishtipated upon them. And they are become victims. But they allow themselves because it feels good. Say, I'll take my money. It's fun. I like to be tricked. That's why they go to the cinema, is to be tricked. Is it not? It's just a series of illusions. The film itself. Going by, say, oh, it's just a series of still images. No, not anymore. Well, it used to be. And there's also trickery going on still in the form of CGI, but also practical effects. So that child's just closer to the camera or something. That's not really Frodo. It's a very tiny, what do you call it? A golden lion tamarind dressed as one of the actors. And I don't remember their name. Sean McGuffin or something is one of them. Bless old people that do pretending for a living. I do, in a way. Not a living. I wouldn't say I make a living at anything. Am I really living? People say, that's an expression we have. What do you do for a living? Otherwise, the implication is that you don't deserve to be alive unless you're doing something and it's productive. Say, well, how do you stay alive? Oh, right? Because you don't just stay alive because you're a human and people care about you, surely. What is it? I'm a bus driver. Oh, all right. Who do you work for? I work for Mr. McGoffin, again, and my best friend's name is Ed Norton, and he works in the sewer. Oh, okay, I've heard of you guys. Exactly. And I'm trying to get by and get promoted and everything like that, and I'm just recently married to my middle-aged wife. And what are we? The Honeymooners! That's right! Oh! There's a lot in common. Here, I'm going to do something I don't really normally do in the middle of a children's story, kids, is I'm going to, there's nothing adult about it, but I'm just going to compare two classic children's tales and how similar they are. And one is 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, and the other is The Honeymooners. And why are they so similar? Well, I don't know. It's how confining the sets are. You know, I'm in this cramped, is this a Brooklyn apartment? It's so tiny. It's not a Brooklyn apartment. It's a submarine vessel. It's a submersible. No, it is. Don't open that window. It's not a fire escape overlooking a Chinese restaurant and a pizza place in Brooklyn. What part of Brooklyn? I don't know, man. It's the Honeymoon Heights. And which used to be a lot more rugged. It was a lot crustier back then or whatever. And people like Jackie Gleason would live there and yell at his wife, scream and scream at his mother-in-law and scream at his so-called best friend. Just absolutely super abusive bully. But gosh, what a lovable person. No, and is really his own worst enemy at the end of the day. Look at him killing himself with food or something. I don't really pay attention much when I have the television on. I'm going to be honest with you. I mostly have it on because I'm afraid of ghosts. And if I have the TV on, ghosts are like, I don't mess with this. And they'll leave you alone because they hear the television and they know that they don't stand a chance, because if I hear something, I'll just think, that was the television. That was it. It was part of a new, they got a new drug. And the theme song goes, ooh, get out more. When you take our pill, you'll get out and do things, because your mobility's back with, ooh. Haunted Dean, right? And you take the Haunted Dean, but it's really, oh, I didn't even hear the ghost. I've been so distracted. You're helping me now, Hardy. I love it because if I listen, a lot of people say, dear Hardy, I'm listening to you is so much better than the voices in my head, which what's the difference? Well, the voices in my head are cogent and they ask me to do things, but you drown them out. And I can't understand what you mean or what you are asking me to do. And that has been therapeutic. And I say, that's so good. A lot of us have literal or figurative voices in our heads, sometimes just us. Who knows how the brain works? We don't know. I don't know what you're hearing right now. You? Maybe not. Well, if you're, people who are hearing me, that's all I can say for sure. And, well, right, you know, that's not, at this very moment, no one is hearing me except me. And I can't be positive that anything is really going on. It seems like it's just going on in my head a little bit to me. And then I look up and I go, oh, there's a corresponding digital file. I'm going to go back and put sound effects in it. No. Oh, that's not true. That's not the way it always works. It's not the way life works. Sometimes things need to be planned. For instance, your retirement and your future. Hi, I'm Hardy White. As we grow older, we have different limitations and different opportunities even. But none of them are complicated more than by not planning or by delaying planning our planning. And what do you mean by planning our planning? I mean planning ahead, looking ahead, understanding, and hey, just getting a little bit older. If you are a regular listener to this show, you know, hey, I'm not selling anything. Just these red light visors that you put on at night, and they really help reduce brain stuff that goes on. You don't want any of that. And I'm selling those on my, I don't have a website or anything. If I do, there's nothing for sale. I'm just funning with you. Oh, my goodness. You know that. I don't even want you to do stuff for free. I'm asking you to not do what? I'm not even, nothing specifically. There's nothing easier than to not do something and for have that something to be nothing specific. It's so easily done. The hardest thing is to do a specific thing. So if I was to say right now, I want you to drop what you're doing, go fly to the moon. You go, I can't. There's going to be a time gap before I can do what you asked me to do. Now, the easiest thing, I think, to do is to ask you to do something you've already done. Then you can go, done. Got it, completed. So I'm going to ask you right now, to listen to me this far, and you've done that, and now you can tune out if you'd like. But understand this: if you leave mid-story, even if it's a episode of Columbo that you weren't interested in, you think, oh, this Columbo, they all seem very drunk. Why are they all drunk in the same car and all these character actors I recognize? Is that Burt Mustin? Dale was so right last week. I did mean Burt Mustin. I don't know why I forgot the most well-known, super elderly-looking actor from the 60s, 70s. I think he's even still alive today at 211, Burt Mustin, who didn't even start really seriously acting until I think his 60s, but he was just blessed by God to look like he was in his 80s. So I wish I maybe have one of those faces. I'm starting to get one of those faces. When I shave, I look at my face and I think, look at that. You're just, the skin's just dripping, melting right off of it. You could get work. And just maybe lose a few pounds. So you look a little like, oh, this guy doesn't have long. And then you get a 20-year career because you're secretly just a vegan. That's what's going on. But or you run. But so he's a runner. Oh, I couldn't tell. I didn't know whether he's a runner or he was something was he was elderly. And that's the look I want, I think. I don't know. You can't always get what you want. And I'm not trying to really project any image. And there's a couple things you've probably learned so far. One, why I don't get any work as a story record narrator, even though I think I have the voice for it, said Captain Nemo. Captain Nemo scrambled back into the submarine and closed the hatch behind him. All four stops ahead, through the fathom. Yes, Captain. Lights blipped and blooped. The radar screen did that and everything. It did that sounding thing that submarines do, too. All hands to where there's supposed to be stations. Everyone snapped to alert and went to their stations. All dive, 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 dive. Periscope in. And they pulled the periscope in first. All dive. Now, I love, this is where I usually make the segue to my sermon. And I'm sorry to sermonize right in the middle. I knew something was up. But it doesn't God sometimes ask us to dive? No. All right, then I'll skip the sermon. But I don't know, if you're a preacher out there, that seems like a good place to start. There is in Moby Dick a scene where Father Mapple is given a sermon in a pulpit that looks like the bow of a ship. And, you know, oh, what a sounding line Jonah sounds, or something like that. And he talks about Jonah. But what he's really talking about is the writing of the book Moby Dick, how difficult it was for Herman Melville because of his dyspepsia. But it's disguised as a sermon. So there's all sort of ways to take your sermon. Clergy, are you listening? You don't have to be clergy. You could be Junior Achievement or Junior Chamber of Commerce or Junior Mints or anything. Or a Junior Samples Lookalike Contest MC. Anything like you want to be in life like that, this applies to it. And that is, hey, let them, it's your stay in character. That's all I'm going to say. And tell your stories. Everything has a story. And by that I mean a lie, because that's what my grandmother used to be like. Don't tell stories. They're lies, aren't they? Your stories are on, she would say, for soap operas. And I said, they are. You're right. They're all lies. They are indeed lies. Stories are. So that's why I don't understand when news places go, what's the news story? I go, story, huh? Yes, there's a narrative to it, isn't there? I don't know. You've just collected as much information as you can, which may not be a lot or enough. And now you're saying, I'm going to put a story to it. What's the story? What's the angle of the story? Well, this is an episode of Lou Grant I remember seeing. Lou Grant was like, what's the story gonna be about? And I said, well, Lou Grant, we are, there is this lady and she lost her baby carriage. Well, was it stolen? We don't know whether it was stolen or not.
It could have been, though, right?
It could have been.
Was it a high crime area?
I don't know. I haven't looked it up.
Look it up. I bet it was stolen.
Well, it just could have rolled away or something.
You know why I think stole it?
So these things can get carried.
Prince Charming.
Now it really is a whole story.
Prince Charming stole it, and he's going to bring it back and kiss her, and she'll come back from the dead.
And that is a wonderful story and news. It's a sort of news story. Now, did it happen that way? And things we can get. Here's the thing about media and submarines. I'm not sure that they are related, but they're probably. I'm going to get back to you on that. Everything is. That's the way it's called the laws of poetry. And that's just how the life works. Things that were unrelated or unusual. How could that be? That violates the laws of poetry. You should be able to take anything and just slap it together, juxtapose it, and come up with some kind of reason that you did it. This is certainly a principle that holds true when you are explaining your art. You have to do like an artist statement. Or you have to write a grant or something. I just went to an exhibit, and I think it felt, the text felt like there was help because the art speak was excessive. And I was thinking, I'm not sure that's how people speak necessarily. And finding a connection between everything, it's fun, isn't it? But do we have to? Yes, there is a connection between everything. We can make a poetic link and tell a story about anything we choose. But listen to what happens when I do it. And how horrifying that is. And I just say, kids, don't be like me. My goodness, try to make sense, especially when you're at school. But I love it. I love to have fun. Listen to me. There was a young man, well, it wasn't a man, it was a piece of wood, named Pinocchio. And he went to a place called the Island of Lost Boys. And the reason they were lost is because they were more concerned about playing pool and smoking cigars than they were about their parents and how lonely their parents were and unrelated to them. But still, how they chose to carve them out of wood. And those, by being ungrateful and by being degenerate and self-indulgent and hedonistic, were those young men with their cigars that they grew the ears of an ass ears, donkey, you call them donkey. We call them, in this country, we would say the ass. He wrote upon, in the Bible we even say it. So what's Balaam doing? Balaam's on his ass, but now his ass has rebelled. It doesn't want to go because it doesn't want to go curse those tents and has been turned back. Obalam, and that's an ass. Now, in the UK, they say fancy dress or arse, and I think that means mean different things in this country. I'm putting together I haven't run this by any UK friends, but I was thinking put together a short glossary. If people are going, if you're traveling there, and you go, I don't know, I'm going to ask for a bonnet or something. I'll get a car part. I don't even know. What is this, a windscreen? And I don't know the difference between GarageBand and a garage. One you take your car to. So that's a thing. And then it would be lovely to have a lexicon. Wouldn't that be great? That's my came up with that name for it. And why is that? Well, partially because I'm in Lexington, and Lexington is named after the dictionary. They were just going through the dictionary looking for a name. This is the original Lexington, not Lexington, Kentucky, but Lexington, Concord. They were looking for a name in the dictionary. And they just couldn't find it. They couldn't find it and went through. And they just slammed it shut and they go, I'm done. Forget it. It's not in there. And one of them looked at the book and said, no, it isn't, because it's on there. And it said Lexiconographica, whatever the book was named. And that's how they came up with it. And then other states, this is how things work in the United States, will take your name. Say, hey, that's a good, not just your land or your culture or anything, or your name or anything. Say, well, we're using that name. That's the name of where we live now. Well, we're Lexington. Well, now we are too. Okay. Guess what we're going to name our town? What? Cairo. It looks like Cairo. You can do anything. Take any name. You can name, you could take the name of a town that's just a couple towns over. And you can take it too. And somebody let people come up with something. Well, all right. Well, we'll be, Paris Beach. And eventually they'll deal with it. Oh, my goodness. It's just that easy. You need what you take. It's called gathering and recycling. It's just other people's things. That's the ultimate. Stealing is the ultimate recycling. Because they might hold on to it. Say, no, it's time for that idea or thing or money or something to move on. Oh, I don't know. I'm not here to give you your morality. That's for your peers to do. I don't know. your more aggressive coworkers. I don't know where you get your morality. At church, from the loudest people or the people you're most afraid of. It's really not. Parents, maybe. Cartoons. I'd like to ask people, say, where did you get your moral code? Because it's not all, people that are not religious, maybe they still got it from those Davy and Goliath cartoons hit real, real hard. I just felt like I had a lot of right to say. And then there was a cartoon on, and it may have been done by the Moonies. Looking back, I don't know. That's Unification Church. I don't mean to diss them, call them Moonies. That's not very nice. They are a cult. There's so many cults, aren't there? And the one of the best names, it's not a very good cult, but the Japanese cult, Happy Science, has the best name because it just sounds like a kid's show host. Like I'd watch Happy Science if that was the name of the show, and the person, hey, Hap, watch the chat. What are we doing today?
Well, let's put something in Mercury.
Let's put Uranus in Mercury.
This isn't an astronomy show, but we could put a pencil in it.
And?
In the Mercury.
Oh, okay.
That would be the show I would have.
And I just had it. That's so exciting about radio. I would just take those ideas and give you the idea, and then you go do it. And that's the same with the story or Little Nemo. I was almost saying like Winsor McCay's Little Nemo. This is Captain Nemo. Winsor McCay slamming his fist. That's my Nemo character grown up. I don't think it is Winsor. It is. I recognize him. I don't think so. I think Captain Nemo has a different origin from a Jules Verne thing. And your Little Nemo, comes after Jules Verne, right?
Oh, yeah, but...
Well, but why did you name him Little Nemo?
I don't know. I was drunk.
So, it could have been... We don't know which came first, the chicken or the egg. But you came before the Disney movie...
That's a good point.
I heard that Jackie Gleason was going to sue the Flintstones, but then someone said to him, you're going to sue the Flintstones? And he was like,
oh, I guess not. I don't know. I guess not.
And that's the whole story. That's the way I heard it, at least. So he didn't. But they just stole the whole thing. But when you become an institution like that, what are you going to do? So you are so part of the culture that people do parodies of it. It's just going to be another thing. They're not stealing your material. They're just saying, oh, you are now in the culture. I would love it. Wouldn't it be wonderful if people do it? Oh, they're doing, he's doing Hardy White. What are you going to do about that, Hardy? If somebody was really doing me now, there's a couple things that, how I would react. One, I'd go, that is a very poor choice. I'm going to tell you now, if you're stealing my shtick, you've made a very, very bad error. And I feel like, well, I've always felt that way with any car I owned as well. I go, oh, steal away, you know, if you think you can handle it. But this is really idiosyncratic. It's really just tailored for me. This is a bespoke shtick and car, all that. And I don't think it's going to fit you in the crotch. So I wouldn't. But then again, let's say I was just so well-known, which I wouldn't. Who wants to be that? That's terrifying. And that he's always doing, I know who he's doing, right? He's doing so-and-so. Or he's, and you couldn't do anything about it because you go, yeah, that's just it. I'm the iconic radio personality. When people listen to somebody on the radio, they're thinking about Hardy White. That's the voice they're thinking. That is the first person I ever heard speak that way. My goodness, and I thought, what am I listening to? What kind of radio is this? Is this the old kind? What do you mean? I mean, is it the old kind with tubes in it that smells funny? It could be. I'm getting a sort of odor over the airwaves. It smells like ozone or my grandpa or something like that, an old closet. Some kind of gas that's being given off by the radio itself or by what's being broadcast. You know, if you were to go back now and listen to old broadcasts by, say, Gene Shepherd or Dr. Demento, before he was a doctor, he was just a graduate assistant. And then when he was postdoc Demento, and then finally emeritus, and I guess still like he's living, all these people that used to be on radio are still alive if their voice was recorded. And a lot of times it was, you know, back in the day they would have, you'd be playing vinyl, but then there'd be one being pressed over there. They'd be making a record out of your voice, not just a tape or something. And they just stack up and say, we have all these Hardy White now. You've done 500 some hours of radio, and these LPs are beginning to stack up. And there's a kind of a plastic smell. It's given off, I'm not sure if it's volatile. And if they're all stacked up like that, aren't they going to compress and spontaneously combust the way our film archive did? I don't know. And I just, sometimes I do so much art volume that I create environmental hazards. So I'm glad things have gone digital now, because in the days of tape and all, I was a menace. Just so much material. Still, when I make art, I just create litter, really, is what I'm doing. And you say, well, you're putting it together. It's still accumulating the same way that garbage would. And I feel that way making art. And if you make music, just make sure you don't record it. And I think it uses a lot of energy. Also, it's energy intensive for people to listen to your music as well, because sometimes it has to be amplified. The best thing you can do as a performer, sort of keep it to yourself. I think a lot of times, say, I want to share my art with the world. Or would it be a more compassionate act to withhold that art for now and just be content with posthumous recognition? Just make your art available upon your death. But if you're not going to sell it, don't give it away. Just keep it. And then we'll see when you're gone. Because sometimes the attention can be problematic. That's why I say, Hardy, you didn't finish that Nemo story. Standing on, did the submarine survive? We want to know. It went under. It really isn't a proper submarine. You know, what did they do? Well, I'll tell you. When he said all hands on all stations, everyone went to where they knew there was a leak, and they put their hand up there, and they put their finger. They would put their finger in a hole. And then the water pressure on the outside would lock those fingers in place. and they couldn't get free. But they went under. The ship went under, but then nobody could steer it because all their fingers were stuck in the holes. But Nemo cut his finger off. Oh, I'm sorry. I know there might be children listening. He didn't cut it off. He never had a finger there. It was a magic trick finger he was using. So he was free, and he went over and he steered the ship, and he got it away from the storm. And then they came up in a beautiful, secluded harbor. And all their fingers got free, and they were able to release the poo cannon. And then they heard... Oh, no. And there was a crowd on the shore, and they were jumping up and down. And they looked really tiny because they were in the distance. But as they got closer to them, they saw they really were little tiny people. And it was even worse for them what they had done to the very tiny people's lagoon. And you know for the story's tiny lagoon, all the trouble that happens to them and their adventures. If you haven't seen old Tiny Lagoon movies, you should check them out. They're so much fun. It just takes place in this pristine, beautiful lagoon. It's so blue, it's green. It's so green, it's clear. I don't know how to describe it. The beach, the sand is the color of sand. But sand, that's a sand, not sand color, but a gorgeous color of sand. A coral, that's what the color is, which is a sort of pink. And, oh, and the blue, the sky is the blue of like a sky, but the best kind of sky. And if I'm being too descriptive, you let me know. And this is the scene, and the people are so tiny that the beach is very hard on their feet. It's like rocks. It's really unpleasant for them because of scale. It looks nice to us, but for them it's treacherous. The waves are too big. The pieces of sand are like boulders. And it's just a nightmare. It's a nightmare for the tiny people of Tiny Lagoon. And so that then to have someone's waist washing up from their makeshift submarine, it kind of balances out the great heroic story of their survival. Oh, yes, they survived, but at what cost? When we survive and live into old age, we have to ask ourselves, hey, can I even afford to be this old? Hi, I'm Hardy White. You might remember me from the sitcom I was in the 70s called Oh, What? And, but now I'm here to say, I'm old. Oh, what? How did that happen? But you might be old too. If you're between the ages of 65 and 75 and on a fixed income, listen carefully to what I'm about to tell you. You may now tell old tales for money. You should ask people to pay you to tell old-timey tales from back in the day. Now, I don't know how to work this out for you, maybe YouTube or something, but there's a way to monetize your nostalgia and your way with words. And I could tell you now, and we had to make our own breeches, or whatever the people, words for pants they had. Breeches. But we spelled them breeches, or britches. And what we called the British female dog was Britches. That was her name. And we loved them all. And then we'd take the beans and dry them out and make pants. And those, I love the old-time stories like that, Appalachia. I could listen forever. So they had so little, you know, they would take the entire hog and they would take everything from the, they say, rooter to tooter, right? Which I thought that this, both the nose is the rooter, but they say the tooter is the anus end. And I had an old-timer was telling me we used everything. And even the anus, I'd say the area around it, no, the whole void. What? Yeah, the area where there isn't anything in the back of the pig. And we would take that And because there's nothing there, it's infinite. And in that infinite void, in that pig anus infinite void, there we would create a sort of other world, a dream world, where anything was possible, where art had no scale. We could make sculptures the size of galaxies, or they could be very, very tiny. We could make symphonies out of the movements of the planets with low notes so low that they would vibrate dark matter, and high notes so high they would combust stars. Oh, all right, that's great. All from the pig. And then the hoof you can boil down and make, I don't know, we made a sort of substance for our 3D printer. So now we print basically in a kind of swine gelatin. And then the stuff comes out great. It's like a plastic. That's amazing. I didn't know that about Appalachian arts and crafts. You learn something all the time. I want to be maybe a tour guide up in here. I'm looking locally because my submarine story, there. I remember there being water. I was out on the, I don't go to Western Kentucky very much because I'm afraid of the people. But I was there and I was at the caves, the Mammoth Caves out there. And they have, there's some that go on, have water. Like there's a area of water and it goes into the cave. I don't know if people go in there on boats or anything. But it got me to thinking about, you know, caves and submarines. It sounds terrifying. But how I wouldn't have to be on it, you know. I could just have my voice on it. And then people would go on the submarine in these caves doing underwater spelunking, which is very safe if you're in some kind of submersible made out of, I'm going to make mine out of paper mache. Paper mache, it'll get wet. No, but then on top of the paper mache is layer and layer of lacquer. It's like lacquer, hard lacquerware, the stuff they used to make samurai helmets out of. So believe you me, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. That's the way you approach things like life and submarines and everything. I mean, what's worst case scenario, really, except the name of a film about the worst case scenario? I don't know if there is a name of a film about it. There sure should be. Right now I'm doing a proof of concept for worst case scenario, which is a movie that I've been thinking about, been in the back of my mind for a long time. And what is it about? Well, right now we're just filming horrible things, and I don't know that there's a linear story. But the investors are pouring in. Pouring money. And if you get in now, you get a magnet. Or something like that. They look like I thought they were magnets when I ordered them. They're mezuzahs. Mezuzot. They're mezuzahs, though. They're not magnets. They're for your door. And they have, they don't even have a little scroll in them. So I'm thinking, I don't know. I don't want to be sacrilegious, but you could put whatever you want in. No one's even going to know. Or just leave it empty. And that's very mysterious. Like, oh, the ultimate commandment is what? Emptiness. Moo. You could put the character Moo on a little scroll in a mezuzah. It's called. And so, what is this? And instead of a shin, you just have moo on it, on your being something. I'm not. I'm trying to educate. You are listening to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County, and New York City, and online, WFMU.org worldwide. Oh, my goodness. It's so great to be with you, and I will see you again next week.
Thank you. school crew. A serious situation we all go through. It deals with your feelings, so hear what I say. It's like a day when nothing seems to go your way. Boss this, two people, they really like each other. He says there's no one else and she claims there is no other. The feeling's the same and you receive a notion to reveal your inner thoughts and deeply hidden emotions. Tell your mother about your lover, also your best friend. You're mighty proud while you're holding their hands. Boys, yeah, that's my woman, and girls, yeah, that's my man. This person brings a certain warmth to your heart, and everything seems so great at the start. For she loves him, and he also loves her, and it's hard to turn back to who the person you were. But later on, problems start to occur, and the bond which combines y'all turn into a blur. For the feelings were the same, now here's the score. You love them too much, and they don't love you anymore due to your attitude and other, or because you're not being true, or maybe they're just plain sick of seeing you. Word. Now it might seem strange, you better take hints quick and make the right change. Rolling, they're gone, and part of your heart's been stolen. Get back on your feet with a hop and a skip. But no, you'd rather go with this dead relationship. Hanging around and buying them stuff. You see them every darn day, yet don't see them enough. You follow them around and they claim you're hawking. When conversation comes, you do all the talking. Not to mention attention, we all need a bit. Behind your back, they're saying, yeah, he's all on my they're getting sick of you. Quite annoyed, and if you have plans for the future, they're now destroyed. You saw what was happening, and you still let it. And if you ever let it make love to your girls, you can forget it. Sweetheart, you've been caught, and it'll spread around town faster than you thought. Then break up time, and you receive the words. Yo, this is from the heart, and I know that part hurts. Get over it from now on, don't take short slick. If it's not true love, you shouldn't deal with it. Just think of your future and what is to come, and pay attention to the words that's in this song. They go. Where you going to? Do you like